the professional society brought me this technical expertise, user expertise, that I could tap into, that I couldn't tap in any other way. Rather than me have to, how the heck was I going to get to this vice president of aerospace? The way I did it was through the professional societies, because they had specialist committees set up in all the different areas.
So you went to these committees and talked to them?
I worked for Bob Dexter, and Bob Dexter would do it.
Now, Dexter was the executive director?
No, Bob Dexter at that time was, yeah, maybe he was the executive director then. I think he was.
Headquarters here in D.C.?
In D.C. No, in New York.
Oh, in New York, okay.
They were in New York.
And how long did this take to convince them?
Couple of weeks. Bob and I became very good friends.
Yeah.
And, we worked together, and he knew people, and he knew about people, and he could steer me the right way. I mean, I'd go to Bob and ask for advice. Bob, how can I get this thing done on such and such and such and such? Bob, how can we get some support of the committee on this thing over? He would do it. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it.
Committee in Congress, you mean?
Yeah, I can't lobby my management.
What was the financial advantage to the society to do this? Were they getting a certain amount of money to help them process?
They then took this little section of a journal that they put out and blew it up into an abstract journal. See, the AEC had two abstract journals, had one database, because I required the specs for the database in terms of the machine specs for the database, because I wanted to produce this thing on a computer, was set up by my industrial contractor.
We're back to AEC here.
No.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'll go back to, this is NASA you're talking
NASA.
About.
NASA.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
They set the specs for the major portion of material going in at that time, which was report literature, not published literature.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Report literature. Okay. They set the specs. Bob's expanded his library group to cover all the literature, to produce the abstract journal, to produce a database that looked identical in format, in indexing rules, in everything, descriptive cataloging, everything. Well, I shouldn't say descriptive cataloging, because they had to put citations. I mean, they followed essentially the same rules that the industrial contractor followed. We merged the databases. That became the AEC database.
The STAR database.
The STAR database is technical, scientific and technical aerospace reports. The IIA, I forgot what they call their journal now. Their journal was open literature. You could use the indexes, and each one exactly the same. The same indexing entries, the same thesaurus, the same indexing rules.
Well, now, STAR, this is the first, these are the first editions of STAR, right?
The first editions of STAR did not, the first editions of STAR, all editions of STAR, only had the report literature to this day. Okay? The society had its journal, and it only had open literature. The computerized database had them both.
Okay. I thought the STAR printed version had the open literature. It didn't, huh? Okay.
Had them both. Okay. Well, you know, this was their product. They owned a copyright. I was taking over something that they had, and they shared in the cost. In the STAR, I covered all costs. In their journal, in the society journal, they covered part of the costs. and I let them keep the copyright.
Okay, so you have the printed Star with just the technical reports from the government and contractors.
To this day.
Right. And then in the IIA had just the open literature.
Yeah.
But the database had both in it.
In fact, it even went beyond that. Okay. Bob's people would abstract index and keystroke this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They would send it to the facility. The facility would set the pages for them.
Saving some time and money there, yeah.
No, there's no question. Yeah. Absolutely right. And the program they used to set that was essentially the same program they used to set Star.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we merged the database, and that's the database that we use for searching, and that's the database that went up online in 1969. And
that's what NASA Recon then became.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How well did the contract work with TOGS, with Doc Inc.?
Very good. Well, let me tell you, I'll tell you something that I don't want by the public record. I worried about that contract. I know operations. I knew operations. I knew costs. Because I'd done everything. That's the point I'm trying to make. Is I didn't start at the top, and I knew what my guys did, but I never did it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I knew what was involved in setting this operation up. I knew Mort. I knew Mort wanted to get. I knew Mort had the right motivation and would want to do the right things. I knew he put together a good team because I went through that team when they gave me the proposal. I saw who they were.
Mm-hmm.
I checked into their backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Checked everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I was still worried. Okay. Because I wanted that thing up and operating. Okay. You can ask some of the old guys that were there from the beginning. So I can give you some of these people here in town. I met with these people every week. Every week I met with these people and we reviewed what they were doing. We decided jointly what they should be doing that was wrong. Okay? We had a journal out in 30 days. I was wearing that outfit. I shouldn't have been doing it. Got to tell you right now.
Shouldn't have been doing.
I was a government. I wasn't supposed to be running a contract.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Okay. That's why I say I'll tell you this right now.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
They'll tell you. If there was a problem, they explained to me. They didn't explain. They explained to the boss, but they had to justify to me. Okay. Why
so
it should be
so
changed.
So you were. Really,
I was the one. I went and I approved everything. Bing.
Yeah.
Right. Bing. Right then we made. That's why we're up and operating so damn fast.
Huh.
We were everything. We had microfiche. We were producing microfiche in 30 days. And we had already set the format. You know, 98 pages. And 24-to-1 reduction. That was the reduction we actually set.
Mm-hmm.
It all been set up. I'll tell you, if I must say so, that probably was a high spot. That NASA operation was so far ahead of everybody. That became the model. I gave that database to the Europeans, our database.
For International Aerospace Abstracts.
The International Aerospace Abstracts is what?
Oh, that's the
IAS.
Other
IAS.
Yeah,
IAS.
Okay.
All right. I gave it to the European Space Agency.
Oh, okay, yes.
It was ESRO, it was ELDO, now it's European,
yeah, right.
European Space
uh-huh.
Agency. And they adopted everything that we did. Their system is the NASA system, exactly as an AEC contract,
mm-hmm.
as a NASA
mm-hmm.
contract, exactly the same thing. And in return for that, giving them that database, I got them to give me everything that the European countries did. All in the same format, which I just fed right into our facility.
Mm-hmm. Now, why were you worried about the contract? Because you knew Taub was always off trying to improve things?
No, because I knew that, because I made a commitment. In 60 days, I would be up and fully operational.
Made it to whom?
To my management.
60 days from the time the contract started.
Uh-huh.
You would have STAR produced and the microfiche ready to go. Now, who in the meantime had set up the NASA deposit system so that libraries got copies of these? Did you set this up?
Well, we set up the distribution lists, yeah.
Uh-huh.
NASA said, my office set up all those distribution lists. Absolutely right.
Decided who qualified to be a NASA depository.
Yeah. We set that up. We also tied into that program the technology transfer program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about the standard for microfiche? How did this happen?
Well, I went out and I talked with people, and I found out that, there was somebody who developed some kind of fiche someplace. They called it fiche. But this is what it would do. And I had tests and everything run before I made that a requirement.
You went to the National Microfilm Association, talked with them about it?
Talked with people in the business. I did a lot of work to get that thing set up.
No one had used that 98-page, 24 reduction?
Not on a mass scale.
Because I was trying to remember when the NMA standard came out.
I don't know. I think it probably came out after us.
Yeah.
It did come out after us.
Mm-hmm.
We just produced so much, it became the standard.
Mm-hmm.
It became the standard. And for many years, it was good. It served its purpose for what it did. There are other things we can do better now. But for some things, it's still cheaper.
The AEC, I say this because my first job ever in a library was when I was in graduate school in 64, and it was working in government documents, and it was filing AEC reports. And those were on the standard microfiche. So someplace AEC switched after you left, and I guess after then NASA, you started using microfiche. AEC must have switched to the standard microfiche also.
They did. I convinced the other agencies. I convinced Defense, and I convinced... You see, I was very active in CASADI.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm a past chairman of CASADI. And I convinced them both to convert to our microfiche standard so we could exchange stuff back and forth.
So you're the guy who made my life miserable. Just kidding. I remember it so well because it was my first job ever in a library, and it was filing those, and I thought the AEC reports on microfiche would never end. You know, they just kept coming in and piling up. So, so Doc Inc. had this contract, and you worked on a weekly basis with those folks. That meant going out to work. Where was the contractor actually operating from?
Out here in Bethesda.
And who made the decision about the automation?
What automation?
The automation that you were using, that Doc Inc. was using.
Well, I made the decision.
And what was...
I designed the system. I designed... I won't say that they didn't make improvements on things I designed. I'm sure they did. Don't misunderstand. But I drew up the specs for the products, the services, the calendars for getting all these things done, the costs. So I had to know what technology they're going to be using. We were using, when we first set up, we were using second generation computer.
The 1410.
1410. Yeah. 1401.
1401.
And then 1410.
Right, okay.
And then 360/40. And then 360/50.
Right. Yeah. Well, now let's go back just a minute, because When did the contract start with Doc Inc.? Do you remember the year for that?
I think 61.
61? Okay. And what was the automation that was used when they started? The 1401, had it come out?
1401.
Had it come out then? They were using that?
Yeah.
So you specified that it all be computerized?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that a database be formed?
Yeah. I knew what the capacity and limitations of 1401 was in those days. We upgraded later on to 1410 when we started with 1401.
How did you know about it?
And let me explain. The big advantage, you have to understand this, as a under a contract, I could get a contract and dump a machine tomorrow and get another one. In the government, to get a new computer, when I started in 1960, was 2 to 3 years. I mean, it took all before you went through all the approvals with OMB and GSA and your own, all of the... You couldn't get it. There's no way to get it. This way here is a new technology developed, dump the old one and get a new one. That's all. Just upgrade it. That's all we did was upgrade. We never bought anything, you just lease them. And you upgrade them. And because we were so successful, I was able to sell IBM on giving a special service and to use us as a model.
To use for the Doc Inc. folks to have it.
Yeah.
How did you learn about Doc Inc.?
If there was ever a problem with that 1401 or 1410, that was somebody that just like that. Bing. No question. We didn't have anybody there all the time, but for all practical purposes, he was there when we needed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, top priority.
Talk about how you learned about automation. Describe this. Now, it must have happened to some extent when you were at AEC.
Well, you know, at AEC we had primarily sorters. We didn't have any computers when I was there. That was one of the reasons that I was unhappy. Because I wanted to put computers in down there, and I had this 2 to 3 year cycle. Okay. I mean, and inside all the battles to get dollars and what have you and so forth. And that was one thing, that's one reason why NASA was much more appealing to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I took a gamble, because maybe I couldn't sell anybody on doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
But at least I was starting with a clean slate.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have something that was working that they'd have to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to be, oh, it's working fine. Leave it alone. It's working.
Was this Taub's first contract using a second generation computer? Or any kind of computer?
Probably.
Because he was just using punch cards.
He was using a computer. I think he was playing with a 1401 and his book type indexes where you'd match half pages.
Right,
and all that.
Right, yeah.
What do you call that? Quad?
No, my goodness. I was afraid you didn't say that. It's coordinate indexing,
but
there's another word for it.
Yeah.
Okay, we both know what it is.
And it was good.
Yeah.
It was good. I mean, matching the pages.
Right.
There had to be a better way of doing it than that, but that's all you could do in those days.
Yeah. I remember using those myself. Seen those. And they worked, but it was slow.
Hmm. Those are fun days, let me tell you.
Yeah.
We got a lot of great things done in those days.
Let's talk about this.
Let me come back. 2 months after this started, I had a call from Hugh Dryden, the deputy director of NASA. He called me up to his office. He sat down. He says, Mel, he says, I just want you to know, I don't know whether anybody ever told you, but I was really against contracting out that operation. I want to take my hat off. I mean, and we're very happy in how it's turned out. He said, I don't know whether anybody ever really told you, but he said, if you hadn't had that thing up in 60 days operating, you'd have been out of a job. Nobody ever told me anything about that. So it was a damn good thing that was there.
Yeah. Why was he opposed? Did he tell you?
Well, he was conservative. And nobody else had ever done it. I was proposing that we do the thing on contract. I mean, let's look at the man's background and what have you and so forth. It was information. You really want to let this stuff out? You know, one of those situations over here. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever proved it. Nobody ever done anything with the computer with the gym.
So you had both the outside contractor and the computerization aspects that were risky.
That's right.
And what did you say to him? Gosh, I'm glad I made it.
No, it's the only way we get the job done.
Yeah. No, I mean, during this conversation.
Look, you have to understand that the space program and the missile program broke around the same time. And the only way that we were going to have a successful missile program in this country or any country is with a computer that was more than a second generation computer. And so the government set up specs that it needed for its missile and space program. And that was a third generation computer. That's the 360 series.
Right, right.
That's the 360 series.
Right.
Okay. Well, this was beginning to... I mean, he was beginning to hear part of this. You know, he still wanted to be shown because he was conservative.
Yeah.
But very good. Solid as they come. And fair as they come. A lot of people wouldn't call up a guy like, you know, I wasn't the top management then. I was, you know, top middle management. But not a political appointee or anything like that. But he called me up and said I was wrong. Mm-hmm. And Jim Webb just loved it. He just loved my programs. He took me over to the White House and took me around, introduced me to everybody.
Oh, yeah?
And went through and he said, you know, we couldn't put a man on the moon without this guy. Well, that's just a bunch of hogwash. You know that, and I know that, you see. But that's the way this guy generated support from me. He would do this not just to me, to all the key guys, he would consider key guys. Hmm. And you were just as loyal as you crossed me. It wasn't anything you wouldn't do for Jim Webb.
Yeah.
And he was politically astute. He was the best administrator in SMAM. Hmm.
You were getting good feedback from the technical information facilities at all these various places. And
yeah, I set up an advisory group the same way that they did, the same way that Atomic Energy Commission did.
Uh-huh.
I did the same thing. Set one up inside the government, because I had to take care of these government types.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I also used the professional societies to help me. I mean, the IAS, and then later on the ARS, and then the IAA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did that work well?
And that worked out fine.
Yeah.
And there was no jealousy between those two contractors. They worked together fine. That's the credit of both of them.
What was in your head at the time, at the beginning, when you started drawing up these plans? Was there enough known about the tremendous benefits of building a computerized database and all of the spin-off products that one could generate?
No. No, nobody'd ever done it.
Were you using the terminology?
No, remember now, I was using a computer to produce an abstract journal.
Right.
Nobody knew that then. The Atomic and National Library of Medicine was talking about it then.
And Chem Abstracts was working toward it, but had not done it yet.
That's right. And Chem Abstracts was way behind. Chem Abstracts did not put out individual indexes until later on, and I'll come back to that when we talk about the National Science Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to Cassani and how all that happened. That's interesting history.
But now, when you said you designed all the products that you wanted, there must have been something in your head, or knowing enough about the nature of the database that you were building, that all these spin-off products were possible. Is that right?
No, I knew that we had to go to computer searching. I didn't know how to do it. I'd never done it before. I knew the limitations on how we were doing the job was not right. Manually, we were eventually going to fail. We were going to drown in this stuff. We couldn't keep up with the stuff. The period of between the time that you got material until you could announce it was going to be too long. I mean, bad enough, it took 2 years to get the damn thing published. Who wants to take 2 years, another 2 years, before you can announce it? That was bad.
Talk about dealing with the agencies to get the declassified stuff. Was this a problem?
It'd be classified stuff.
So that you could include it in STAR? Because you would have to be dealing with DOD and with the ASCII group?
No problem at all.
That was coming through fine.
I was very fortunate. My colleagues were very collegial, and I got along very well with my colleagues. I was never considered in the beginning I may have been a threat. At least they considered me a threat. But but they found out very rapidly after that. I shared everything I had with them, and I was in a position where I could make them look good to their management, and I did that.
Mm-hmm. This is the ASTIA group now.
The ASTIA group, the AEC group, mm-hmm. all of the agencies. I became very active in CASADI. And there was, and I'd had different committees that were primarily involved in getting agencies to work together, in getting agencies to move as closely as possible to the same type of systems, so we could exchange mm-hmm. stuff back and forth mm-hmm. and what have you and so forth. Mm-hmm. And we were way ahead of the private sector. Way ahead of the private sector. The private sector secondary services, the abstract, they were falling further and further behind. It wasn't until Bert Atkinson, who was the director of the National Science Foundation, decided to use some of his funding authority to fund the secondary services to produce their abstract journals.
Starting with Kim Abstract.
Okay. And to produce databases that could be used by the federal government. See, the federal government was exchanging their databases. They could, okay. And we covered a lot of material, but a lot of the disciplinary stuff we didn't have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We didn't have. And one of the CASADI was always thinking of a national system. But we knew that it was not going to be a system that was set on and designed by one group and said, now hear this, this is the way it's going to be. It had to be a network of voluntary cooperating groups that would try to move together as much as they could. Because the problem we had is that all these other services had huge investments already in how they were doing things.
The private services.
Private services. Right. And if you ask everybody to change this thing, well, that could have a major impact on everything else that they had done up to that particular point in time, mm-hmm. which had economic value.
Mm-hmm.
Had economic value. So when Bert started doing it late 60s.
Actually, I think Kim Abstract's got some money in 62 or 63.
62, but they weren't doing much then.
Right.
They got their last money from me.
Oh, right, when you were there.
When I was there.
Yeah.
I closed them out.
Yeah.
I just said, this is ridiculous. Why should taxpayers keep producing this thing over here? I mean, you know, the beginning, that's fine.
Yeah.
But not to make it a, you know, the thing works now. If you want to make it work better, and it's your product, and you own it and what have you and so forth, and you're going to charge whatever you want to charge, including the government, which buys a lot of those things, well, then you ought to use your own funds. And we ought to use those funds for other purposes.
Did you and Atkinson talk about these concepts of helping out the private indexing?
Oh, yeah, because all that came up in the Cassati stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Atkinson made a major contribution. There's no question about that. And that all of them, that's BIOSIS, Chem Abstracts, Engineering Information, American Mathematical Society, now PsycINFO, American Meteorological, AGI, American Geological.
Oh, right, yeah.
Okay. Those are the ones. They all got money from him.
What did the total, do you remember what the total contract was for that went to Doc Inc.?
No. I don't have the slightest idea, but I think it was less than $3 or $4 million.
Mm-hmm. Over the period of time, you must have done this on a renewing basis.
Well, no, the contract, I usually would enter into a one-year contract. Well, in the government, you can only enter into one-year contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Because because Congress only appropriates money every year.
Oh, right, of course. Yeah.
So you do it once a year, but renewable at the end of the first and second year at the option of the government.
Mm-hmm.
So that really covers 3 year period.
How long did Doc Inc. have the contract?
Doc Inc. Had the contract as long as I was there. No, I take it back. Doc Inc. lost the contract. I think they lost the contract after Mort died.
No,
because they sold it.
Mm-hmm. 63 or 64, something like that.
Something like that.
Mm. Why don't we stop there and take a lunch break, and then, because that's right at the end of the tape, and we'll come back.